Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. And I got Brother Travis Bryan III on the phone. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. Good to be with you again this morning.
Absolutely, brother. Got a really good, interesting, intriguing aspect, if you will, a component of the cross here called redemptive withdrawal. This is a major principle of the cross. Brother, you did a piece on that, on that recently, and I guess the greatest example of that is how God the Father withdrew his hand of protection on Christ in order that Christ could die for the sins of the world. Is that correct?
Absolutely, Todd, and Psalm 22 is the foreshadowing of that, written by David, where the Lord cries out in despair when his father has forsaken him. That is the withdrawal of God's protection over his son and allowing the devil to come in and attack. And that is the first principle of this four components of redemptive withdrawal, is that God takes away his protective hedge and turns us over to the devil. This is the cross, Todd. Many times within limits, although he put no limits on Satan with regard to Jesus, many times he does put limits on Satan's activities with regard to followers of Jesus, as in the case of Job. He put limits in chapter 1 and chapter 2 on Satan and what he could do with Job. But, Todd, this is the principle of the cross, that, God turns his people, and I would say even his enemies, over to Satan for a redemptive purpose, Todd.
Amen, brother. Amen. You wrote that God withdraws his protective hedge or hand from a person and permits the devil and his minions to attack the person, usually within certain limits. And the main example being that God withdrew his protective hand from Jesus and allowed Satan and his earthly representatives to attack and crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
This can and does happen to good believers. Can also happen as a corrective action to people engaging in evil acts. And below you had some examples of that, how God always does. Go ahead.
Well, we see three examples that I've listed there. In Luke 22, Jesus says to Peter, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you as wheat.
Yeah.
And the Lord says he's going to pray for Peter that his faith would hold up. And then when he's converted, to that he would strengthen his brethren. So here you have, again, a principle of the cross, Todd, that God, through his son, is withdrawing the protective covering around Peter. And Peter's own sin, in this case, he denied the Lord three times. But this temptation and this failure of Peter turned out to be a great blessing to him, in that it further spurred his growth as a believer. And, of course, he wrote the two epistles, 1 and 2 Peter, which are beautiful expressions, Todd, of the value of suffering in the life of the believer. And suffering comes from Satan. It does not come from God. It is permitted by God, but never directly inflicted by God. Satan is the one who brings about his own demise.
Amen.
And we've talked about that at length on this program, Todd, and that's component number four to these four principles under this heading. This Aikido-like or martial arts effect where God allows evil to self-destruct. In the case of Peter, Peter needed to be sifted, and Satan is the one that did it. We all need to be sifted through the cross of our impurities, our selfishness, our old nature, sin nature. And this outer man has got to be deteriorated and done away with, Todd. And the great blacksmith that pounds on us is Satan, Todd.
Absolutely. You know, you point out Peter, and in 1 Peter 5:10, he says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, settle you." That gives a lot of hope to someone who's listening, Brother Travis, who has failed. I mean, right here in your examples, which are good ones, we have Peter, who had strayed from Christ, and Satan desired to sift him, or to have him, that he may sift him as wheat, the backslider, if you will. And you also have someone who is in sin, the fornicator in the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 5:5, whom the Lord withdrew his hand from in order to save him, if the man would repent. And in this case, he did. In 2 Corinthians 2, we have that proof that the man actually repented. So these are redemptive acts with purpose. And then you even have Hyman
now,
Hansen.
But,
go ahead.
And it does take our repentance, Todd. I mean, this is what brings about the opportunity for repentance, that Satan reduces us down to nothing. I mean, we're desolate, we're stripped, we're at the low point. Satan has pushed us down, pounded us down. But Todd, at that low point is the crucial place that we all need to get to, because at that point, when we cry out to the Lord, as Jonah cried out from the whale's belly, this is where God moves in, Todd. When we finally give up on ourselves and we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we cry out to the Lord and start depending on him, no longer on self. We are stripped of self at that point, and Satan is the stripper, Todd.
Yeah.
And so God allows Satan to do things for a redemptive good purpose, Todd, for salvation. In the case of Jesus, it was the salvation of mankind, the opportunity for redemption of mankind. And in our case, it's an opportunity to be stripped of our bondage to self and the world and Satan's power, and similar to the three men that went into the fire that we've talked about in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were stripped of their bindings by that fire, freed and promoted and prospered, God. And for them, the fire, what the enemy did to them was a blessing to them. However, for those that resist the cross and never come to repentance, it's doom for them, Todd. But the whole thing happens at the cross. The wrath of God is found in the cross. And that fire of his wrath can be a fire of love if we yield, as did the three men in Daniel 3. But if we resist, then it will destroy us, as it did the men that put the three in the fire, Todd.
Yes. Now, the third example, you had Peter, and you had the fornicator, which I believe could represent backsliders and people that are in sin. And also
right.
You had 1 Timothy 1:20, Hymenaeus and Alexander, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So apparently they were either teaching false doctrine and or they had backslidden and made temporary shipwreck of their fate. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Their faith had failed, and the Lord, through Paul, turned them over to Satan to learn a lesson, Todd, again, for a good purpose. And so we have to see that these things happen to people not for any vengeful, retaliatory act by God, but for their own benefit if they respond properly in faith and repentance, Todd.
Absolutely. He even says here that they may learn. So this was a remedial action out of God's love. Now, Brother Travis, don't you believe that in the big picture, let's face it, the scriptures are clear that we must die in the grace of God in a place of righteousness to be with him. And that's what Peter's talking about there in 1 Peter 5:10. When he speaks of, he uses the word eternal, and that's what God looks at, eternity, not just this earth.
Yes.
This earth is a remedial place for all of us. We never stop learning or being chastened and having these seasons of redemptive withdrawals because
exactly.
God loves us. And Peter says, but the God of all grace, I love that description of God. He's the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. See, he prefaces that in this next part by saying that God's called us to eternal, not just temporal glory, not only to be in his kingdom here, but to abide or remain in Christ to the end. Jesus taught saints that you must endure to the end to be saved. It's essential for eternal glory. And he uses that term, eternal glory, here. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So he has eternity in mind, brother, would you say?
Oh, absolutely, Todd. He's never letting go of us. He has to allow our free will, Todd, and that's a key component in this redemptive withdrawal. And he also has to allow the devil to destroy himself, because God is never directly violent. His violence is to remove his protection and allow Satan to come in and destroy his own work. And, of course, we've seen Hebrews 2:14 that it's through death that the one who had the power of death, Satan, is destroyed. Todd, there you have this whole principle right there wrapped up in one verse.
Yes, absolutely, brother. Now, you spoke also of how the Lord, in his withdrawals of protection, It grieves him, and he always suffers with the sufferer. You have many scriptures.
Let's go to Luke 19 on that one, Todd. I think that's a really good one on that principle.
Yeah. Luke 19.
Verses, I'm trying to remember where it is.
41 through 44.
It's going to be in 41 through 44. Yes, 41 through 44.
Okay. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee about, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation.
But that's not the end of the story. That is merely illustrative of the fact that God suffers with us, just like he suffered with Jerusalem because they had rejected the Lord. He turned them over to the enemy. They were the hedge of protection was withdrawn. And of course, we know in A.D. 70, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. And that was the ultimate destruction. But we also know that there's a good ending, that Israel will be restored in the end, Todd. And, and the new Jerusalem will be come forth on the earth and come down from heaven and come to the earth. And Israel will be restored. So, again, a withdrawal of God's protection. Satan, the enemy, through earthly enemies, coming in and destroying, but a redemptive purpose, God, Todd, that
ultimately,
that Israel will be restored.
Absolutely, yeah. Romans 11 tells us that they will be restored. And, of course, they're, as you mentioned earlier, their free will be in full tact. And as Peter's was when God restored him after he had denied the Lord three times, as Satan tried to sift him away from the Lord. Amen.
Todd, let me quickly go over these four again. Number one, God abandons or withdraws his protective hedge and permits Satan to come in. Sometimes that is spoken of in the Bible as a deliverance over or a handing over to Satan or a handing over to death. We find that in 2 Corinthians 4:11. Let's read that one in a minute. The second component is God always has a redemptive or good purpose. That's his intent in doing this. He doesn't have an evil intent against us or a retaliatory, vengeful intent. Three, it grieves his heart, Todd, and he suffers with us. That's the fourth man down in the fire in Daniel 3, the Son of God, Todd. He suffers with us. He doesn't inflict suffering and stand back. He suffers with us. And finally, this self-destructive aspect of this to evil, that evil self-destructs through this process, Todd. So let's go and look at first. Here's one I want to look at first. This principle, when you see it, it's all through the Old Testament too, Todd. Let's look at Psalm 78:48.
Okay. Psalm 78:48 and 49. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them.
So there you have it. Pardon me?
That's demonic powers, huh?
Yeah. Yes, and evil see, angels. You know, it looks like God is angry there and in wrathful and furious. But actually, as 49 makes clear, his anger and his wrath is coming from these evil angels that it says he's sending. Well, that's just another way of looking at this handing over or removal of the protective hedge.
Yeah, in a
promiscuous
sense.
So Satan has already been on destruction always against anyone. And when God allows it, he will, when God removes, opens that gate, Satan will go through it every time and attack. And so, even here, it looks like God did this, but it's actually, as we get the New Testament revelation of the cross, Todd, we can look back on these Old Testament passages and know that God is not originating evil. He's not causing evil, but he is permitting it for a redemptive purpose, Todd.
Yes, yes. Amen, brother. I believe that's the mind of Christ for sure on that phenomenon that we behold in the scriptures, the greatest example being where we read, you know, prophetically of Christ, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, the scripture tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19, and that is the reason why he gave and sent his only begotten Son to die, to redeem the world. That's the greatest and will always be the ultimate example, Brother Travis. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you know, people want to say that God is, or they imply or leave the impression that God is different from Jesus. God had this wrath that Jesus had to satisfy on the cross. In other words, that Jesus is compassionate and caring, but God is angry and wrathful, so Jesus had to die to satisfy him. And this to me, I do not accept, Todd, because this makes a distinction between God and his Son. No, Jesus spends a great deal of time in the Gospels telling us about how he and his Father are one, that he's God, the Father sent Jesus to show us what Father is like, that Father was in Jesus and Jesus was in the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean, on and on, all these verses that make the point clear that God is no different from his Son. And I'm going to tell you, if you and I were to watch our sons crucified for a guilt that they did not commit on behalf of someone else, we would certainly suffer. Both of us would, Todd, watching that happen to our son. And God suffered just as much as Jesus did at the cross, Todd. He is no different from his Son. And so God suffers with us, Todd, when these bad things start to happen, when the world's unfairness has come to us, and they will, when death itself comes to us, 2 Corinthians 4:11, God is with us. He never leaves our side, Todd, and we're crucified with Christ, with Christ. And so we come out on the other side in resurrection, and that's the redemptive purpose, Todd, for our sufferings that Satan
Amen.
Puts through.
Yes, and let's bring it into that place, brother, because the suffering of death, the death of self or the sinful nature is what is required to bring forth the redemptive purpose in our daily life, which is the resurrection life of Christ, saints. And this is God's purpose. He wants to be the shining light, the resurrection and the life, as Jesus said he is, in our daily lives. And that can't happen and doesn't and won't happen until we submit to him in the denial of self. By being crucified, as you said, Brother Travis, with Christ, Galatians 2:20, nevertheless we live, yet not us, but Christ that lives in us. There it is. Christ wants to reign on the throne of our hearts and in our lives today. And as I've said many times, I'm going to say it again, it's something that will become an addiction, a good one. It'll be something that you greatly desire. And once you get a taste of it, Brother Travis, and as we speak about much on this program, and if you don't mind, I can read this chapter, this little passage that you are referring to, 2 Corinthians 4:10-12,
yes.
The Apostle Paul.
11 is the key one on this.
Yes, sir. The Apostle writes, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that for this purpose, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And here's verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Amen, brother.
And turned over to death really means turned over to Satan. As we learned in Hebrews 2:14, Satan has the power of death. So when you're turned over to death, Paul is using death there as a metaphor for being turned over to death situations, not only physical death, but things that strip you, things that come against you, the adversary, Satan and the things he throws at us through using people to do it, people within our own family, within our own church, out in the world, in the lawsuits, you know, whatever you have, we're turned over to that for a good purpose, Todd. And it, I'm going to tell you, God goes through it with us. He grieves for us. But Satan is destroying himself. He's self-destructing through these activities that he commits against us, because these activities that he perpetrates are facilitators to bring us into the life of Christ, Todd, as it says in those verses. The life
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen, brother. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all, saints. And again, I want to read 1 Peter 5:10. God has redemptive blessings in these sufferings that he is with us in, 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's a great outcome, Brother Travis. Amen?
That's correct, Todd.
Perfection or maturity, establishing us in Christ, strengthening us, and settling us. Right after that, in the next chapter, Peter wrote, 2 Peter 1:10, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And I'm reminded of how Paul exhorts Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. This little idea of tiptoeing through the tulips that we get from, regrettably, Brother Travis, and I don't mean to be rude, saints, because there's some good pastors out there that are telling you the reality of things straight out of the scriptures, which is how Jesus and his apostles taught. But there's a whole lot of people making folks believe that you know, they deal with persecutions and sufferings and afflictions that are consistent with the true Christian life. Paul went around to the churches that had been saved on his second missionary journey in Acts 14:22, and he says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, he gave them the scoop up front, if you will, Brother Travis. He told them, you're going to suffer tribulation. Jesus, he's echoing the teachings of his master and savior, Jesus, who said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. There are tribulations externally and internally to suffer in our walk with Christ, and God always has a redemptive great outcome for it, a resurrection outcome, ultimately eternal glory with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in heaven, the New Jerusalem. It's going to be an amazing eternity, brother. We got about 50 seconds left, Brother Travis, if you'd like to say a word.
Yes, sir. It's only through tribulation that we can enter the kingdom of God. And God is not the cause of tribulation. Satan is, Todd. And
yes,
the Lord suffers with us through that tribulation, that door into eternity. And so, you know, faith, Todd, comes into full bloom here through this doctrine that we've been talking about this whole program, that, you know, faith is what God has given us. And when we respond to these times, when he removes his protection, actually he never removes himself, but he removes his protective hand and allows Satan to come in. Todd, let me tell you, all your good works, All of your strivings to be holy in your own effort are not going to be worth a darn at that moment. All that's going to bring you through this cross experience, Todd, is faith.
Amen.
That's why faith is so darn important in this thing.
Amen, Brother Travis. God bless you, brother. Thank you. And saints, God bless you. Thank you for listening. And feel free to avail yourself to the resources at safeguardyoursoul.com.
Thank you, Brother Todd.
Thank you, sir.